KTRC. It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Greetings to everyone in Santa Fe and beyond. I welcome you to a special roundtable edition of All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today I'll be having conversations with a variety of real estate experts who will be offering some thoughts on things to consider as we get close to the beginning of spring. And, of course, we invite you to join in the dialogue here on Talk 1260 KTRC by emailing me, Ray Post, your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. But before we get going, I want to offer some help on those renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home by checking out the real estate resource companies on our website. Simply go to www.sfrp.com, click on the radio tower icon, and look for the list of these partners of the All Things Real Estate radio show. I also want to invite you to help kids in our community and have some fun along the way by being a part of the Bowl for Kids' Sake 2010 campaign. Now, this is the most important annual campaign of Big Brothers and Big Sisters. It is not only real easy to participate in, but also a fun way to benefit New Mexico kids. Simply form or join a four-person bowling team and then ask family, neighbors, coworkers, and friends for pledges on behalf of Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And as a thank you for your efforts, you are invited to a party which includes free food, bowling, prizes, and lots of fun, held at the Strike Gold Lanes in Pulaski on April 10th, 11th, 17th, and 18th. Now, for more information on the Big Brothers Big Sisters Bowl for Kids' Sake campaign, please call 983-8360. That's 983-8360. Or visit their website, bbbs.org/northernnm. Sounds like fun to me, and it's for a very good cause. So let's get right into the show today with a couple of minutes of state of the market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Good afternoon, Andrew. What thoughts do you have for the listeners today?
Well, it is sort of feeling like spring, you know. It's pretty. I walked my dogs this morning in just a sweatshirt. It was nice, and so I start thinking about spring cleaning. So there's a lot of ways to do spring cleaning. You know, you could work in your house, but you can also do financial spring cleaning.
Right.
Our listeners may have accumulated credit card debt over the winter, inadvertently, but nevertheless. And what's happened in advance of the federal government's capping credit card rates at 18%. Most of the credit card companies raise their rates on outstanding balances from 12 to 18% to 25 to 30%. I know that my credit card that I've had for 25 years did that to me. So if you're sitting there with $15,000 in credit card debt at 25%, that's $3,750 a year in interest alone, or $312 a month. So at a minimum, it could take you 20 years to pay it off, making the minimum payment. So why not do some spring cleaning? With interest rates low at about 5%, it may be a unique time to reduce monthly exposure. Now, I never like to take short-term debt and make it into long-term debt, but this is an opportunity. So you're sitting there with a mortgage of $200,000 at 6%, you're paying about $1,200 a month.
Right.
But you got to tack on that the $312 a month that you're paying in credit card debt, and so you're paying, in actuality, $1,500 a month. So if you, let's say you take out of your equity in the house, $25,000, pay off all your credit card debt, feel good about it, and you get a rate of maybe 5 or 5.25%. So your payment then is going to be $1,242 a month. you're going to save $269 a month just by paying off your credit card debt. Now, you know, as I said, I don't like to take this short-term debt and make it into long-term debt, but what you've done is you've lowered your payment, and you should feel good about it. Cash out does add cost to rate. If your FICO is good, though, and your loan-to-value is below 65%, there may not be any add-on charge. And at 80%, though, where you're taking cash out, it becomes a bit more costly. And so that's why instead of 5%, I figured 5.25% in my example.
Right.
It's a way that people can clean their house, their financial house for spring, and feel good going into spring and summer.
Excellent counsel, and very good on this getting ready for spring sort of sub-theme that we have going on today. I think there were a lot of numbers there and suggestions. I would suggest that people go to our website, www.sfrp.com, and go over to the radio show page and click on Andrew Hoffman's contact information so you can follow up with him. Andrew, also, too, just for a future thought, I'd love to talk to you about, from your experience, how the current loan modifications are perhaps causing some challenges for people out there. And I know we've talked about it off the show at a couple of points. So maybe for a future topic, how about that?
Okay.
Very good.
I'll do some research and get back to you next week.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much. Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. We'll talk to you then.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. I want to shift gears here and just remind you that if you're thinking about building a new home, updating the one that you're in, or converting your garage into a living space or building a guest house, then you ought to remember that choosing a contractor is an important decision, and that's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Now, Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off of their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019 for your free consultation, or visit them online at www.majordevelopment.net. to learn about all of their custom home building services. I had, as you know, listeners out there, I had Jeff and Dina Major on the show last week, and we talked about affordable housing. We raised some important issues from their standpoint as builders and developers, and we'll be continuing that subject in the near future. So now I want to invite a very good friend, actually a colleague at Santa Fe Realty Partners, a fellow associate broker. I have Tony Atwell on the line. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
Ray, I'm great. How are you this morning?
Well, we're doing fine, and you are so kind to be willing to talk about this getting ready for spring concept. And I think what maybe you're going to be speaking to are some of the, well, your observations about where the market is. You're a very experienced broker in the firm. You've been around Santa Fe for many years. So give the listeners sort of your commentary on where things are, man, maybe from a buyer standpoint.
Well, I think one thing that buyers need to be thinking about is that they are going to be a handful of new listings coming up around April and May, and that probably most of these new listings were on the market last year and they didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if the sellers are more willing to offer their homes at a competitive price in 2010. Sellers and buyers need to realize there are about 40% fewer buyers in the market right now, and that leaves a lot of big opportunities in that $800,000 to $2 million market. That's kind of over there in the northwest city limits, northeast city.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, Tony, we beat the drum here every week that this is one heck of a market, low interest rates, historic low levels on interest rates for those first-time home buyers. And you don't necessarily have to be literally a first-time home buyer, but now's the time to take advantage of getting your property under contract before the federal tax credits expire at the end of April. So are you basically seeing that in your own buyers, that there's renewed interest in maybe some of these great deals out there with moderate prices and the tax credits?
I think the tax credits on the lower end of the market really, really help our market here in Santa Fe. I really haven't seen that affect the upper end at this stage of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do extend those tax credits, though. We need to see those first-time home buyers come into the market. I think that's really important. But as the discount rate the Feds raise gradually to pay for our debt, that's going to really affect everybody's purchasing power. So, you know, sooner rather than later is when people need to try to get in.
Right. And, of course, the first-time tax, first-time home buyer tax credit only applies up to properties of value of $800,000 or less. So you're right. It is, in fact, for some of the upper-end properties in Santa Fe, not available. But also, too, we know that the Federal Reserve is not going to be buying mortgage-backed securities after the end of April. So you're right, Tony, that impacts on rising interest rates. So, again, we keep saying now's the best time that there ever has been, or at least in many, many years, to buy something, correct?
Without a doubt, in my mind, I've been selling real estate around here for 20 years, and this is the best time to invest in Santa Fe, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you and I have talked about it, that there is some influence from out-of-towners. I mean, Santa Fe has traditionally been a second, third, tenth home market for a lot of people. A lot of people, of course, are moving here to settle, but a lot of people buy property here from out-of-state to have as a getaway vacation spot. What do you see about the trends on that particular second home market constituency?
Well, I think the second home market will be driven more than likely when the interest rates start going up and their value starts to evaporate, trying to get in at the bottom of the market. That's probably what will motivate the second home buyers. In our primary homes, that's going to be driven by retirees, people primarily from California and New York. And as we see those markets firm up, those are our major feeder markets. That's where we'll see the majority of the buyers come from. And once that happens, my prediction is our really good inventory will evaporate quickly because we don't have that much inventory to sell relative to other marketplaces.
Right, and the prices of that very good inventory have moderated significantly. So for that retiree, they do have an opportunity to buy a fabulous property here at a price they certainly couldn't have realized as short a time ago as 2 years ago, correct?
Oh, that's really correct in the home market. And if they were considering building, I mean, my goodness, land opportunities are incredible right now. I mean, a two-acre lot that used to be $225,000 is now $175,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 25% discount.
Right, right. Well, Tony, again, you are a colleague at Santa Fe Realty Partners, very experienced broker. If anyone wants to get a hold of Tony Atwell, there are a couple of ways I'm going to give you a chance to talk about it in a second, Tony, but go to our website. Again, that's www.sfrp.com. And when you come to the homepage, click on the category that says brokers, and it'll take you right to Tony by alphabetical listing. But if they want to call you today, Tony, what's the best way to get in hold of you?
I'm at 670-2177.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being on the show and bringing great commentary. Your observations, I think, are resonating with a lot of people out there. I will see you in the office soon, Tony.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ray. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Tony Atwell. I guess, Gina, we'll take a little break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our roundtable discussion of getting ready for spring here in the beginning of the buyer and seller market for this time of year. So stay tuned. Hey. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Today we are doing a roundtable of discussions of all things real estate as we get ready for the spring market. And we've got some interesting things. I have a surprise guest coming at the end of the show, so just to tease you with that, he's actually sitting here right now. We have him with headsets on and a mic in front of him, but we can't let him say anything. So anyway, he'll have to sit patiently until the very end of the program. Anyway, Gino, it's time once again to receive some good insurance advice from our friends at Hub International. Now, amid the concerns that most consumers have these days about the direction of the economy, one logical question that people have is, how can I save money on my insurance coverage? This past week, I had the opportunity to speak with Robin Schritter, Regional Vice President of Hub International, about this important topic. Here are some of Robin's thoughts. Robin, consumers these days are looking at how they can stretch every dollar. What suggestions do you have for our listeners when it comes to saving money on insurance
coverage? You're right, Ray. I don't know anyone who isn't thinking about the best way to spend those hard-earned dollars in today's economy. At the same time, my best advice is to make sure you aren't penny-wise and pound-foolish when it comes to having adequate insurance coverage, However, here are a few cost-cutting suggestions. Regarding your auto policy, here are some things to think about. What deductibles are you carrying? You could consider increasing your deductible. The most common deductibles are $250 for comprehensive and $500 collision. You could look at increasing to $500 deductible comp and $750 or even $1,000 deductible for collision. However, you must remember that in the event of a claim, the deductible, that amount that you carry on your auto insurance, is the amount you will have to repay or write a check to the repair shop when the vehicle is picked up. In addition, there are a couple of other ways of saving money on your auto insurance coverage. First, senior drivers can obtain a discount for a defensive driving course, usually offered by AARP. Second, good student credits could apply when your children are 16 years old and a junior in high school with a 3.0 grade point average.
Excellent suggestions, Robin. How about any general thoughts regarding insurance policies and cost-saving measures for our listeners?
You bet, Ray. I would ask all of your listeners to think about package policies. Specifically, when you carry more than one policy with the same insurance company, you may be able to receive an additional discount. Also, how you pay your insurance can save money. Consider having an automatic draft from your checking account to pay for policy premiums. Or, for a double bonus, have your payment charged monthly to your credit card and receive not only a discount, but you also receive the benefit from your credit card, maybe mileage points or cashback rewards.
Now, of course, Robin, we are a real estate radio show, so what homeowner insurance cost savings can you recommend?
Ray, for your listeners, I recommend that they revisit the deductible option on their home insurance policy. If you've had the same policy for a number of years, you may have a very low deductible, like $100 or $250, and you're paying an added premium for that low deductible. Consider raising the deductible to $500, $1,000, or even $2,500. Remember, in the event of a claim, your payment from the insurance company would be reduced by the deductible amount, and you would be paid the difference. You may also discover that your home insurance policy offers some special coverages. For example, let's say you have a theft loss, and it's TVs and electronics that are stolen. Maybe one of those TVs was in a spare bedroom that you no longer use, or it was an old computer that you've since replaced. So after the loss, you decide not to buy a TV for that extra room, or there's no reason to replace the old computer. Most insurance companies offer longevity discounts for being insured with them continuously for a number of years. And after being loss-free, be sure to review your policy to confirm that all kinds of discounts are applied.
Good advice, Robin. Any last thoughts on ways to save money with your insurance policies?
The best time to shop for your insurance is when your record is clean. This means no accidents or tickets for any driver in at least the last 3 years. Also, look for policies with annual renewal terms, and then you can lock in that good rate for a year instead of just 6 months.
Terrific suggestions as always, Robin. And if you want more insurance information, please go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio show tower icon, and that will take you right to the Hub International logo. As always, good counsel from Robin Tritter at Hub International. They are partners with us here on All Things Real Estate. We welcome that insurance commentary from Robin twice a month. So, Gino, again, we're doing a number of roundtable discussions today, but we've actually reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Rubin Katz Law Firm. Now, this week's commentary is offered by Jim Rubin and speaks to issues that are important as we head into the spring and summer selling and buying seasons. Specifically, Jim believes it's a good time to review what he calls his four contingencies of purchasing a home: property inspections, financing, title insurance, and survey review. Now, the top two issues that buyers usually worry about are, first, the condition of the house that they're wanting to purchase, and second, whether they can get financing for that purchase. Both are very important, but are only part of what any buyer should focus on. Regarding inspections, securing a good property inspector is the first step, and your broker should be able to help you find the right company. Besides a thorough review of the condition of the property, it may be advisable to also get pest and termite inspections. And don't be lulled into thinking we don't have termites in New Mexico. Even attorney Jim Rubin has had them in his own house. You can save legal fees by having your broker write the inspection report letter to the seller if there are any defects found at the property you are buying. And try and put a clause into your purchase agreement stipulating that the seller fixes the defects or offers a credit to fix them. But make sure that any credit offered by a seller doesn't harm your lender financing package. Also, when considering your purchase of a property, read the seller's property disclosure statement carefully for clues about the condition of the house you're about ready to buy. Also, inquire about what is happening in the neighborhood, that is, things like surrounding or nearby open spaces. For instance, are they vacant, or are they developable lots or parks or no-build areas? When it comes to the title insurance commitment, Jim Rubin urges you to have a professional review it. Given its technical nature, policy terms, conditions, and exceptions, it's best to secure knowledgeable feedback. And as Steve Reeven, one of our frequent guests, has told us from Fidelity National Title, a title company worth its salt can help you in that area. Also, you need to know when it's time to ask the seller for more information about such things as, did you obtain architectural committee approval for your construction? Or what types of assessments may be levied against this property I'm about ready to buy? Now, your broker should also be able to help you on these points. Surveys also contain much more information than meets the untrained eye. For instance, have you looked closely to determine whether the house you are buying has been built within a building setback or whether a neighbor's improvements encroach onto the new lot you're about ready to purchase? If you plan on an addition, have you examined the survey and title commitment documents to determine whether an easement runs through the area where you intend to build, or if covenants prohibit your actual expansion? Now, attorney Jim Rubin urges you to consider engaging a real estate law professional to help you with these particular types of issues. And in closing, Jim Rubin reminds us that buying a home may be the biggest purchase and investment in our lives, so don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Hire the right inspectors, surveyor, and other professionals to help ensure the long-term enjoyment of your home. Thanks again to attorney Jim Rubin for a very useful legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions, please go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio tower icon, and that will take you right to the Rubin Katz Law Firm logo. We're going to take a break here on all things real estate. Again, I want to remind you that I have a special in-studio guest who is sitting here. He will be with us at the end of the program, so please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. Today we are doing a roundtable of discussions with a variety of real estate experts so that we're getting some counsel about what you need to do to get ready for spring. I'm looking out the window, and the sun is trying to break through. It's a little chilly, but spring's just around the corner, actually only 2 weeks away. So anyway, I'd like to now welcome Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design to the show. Annie is a well-known member of the New Mexico design community and offers a wide range of professional interior design services to her clients. Today, as part of her regular interior design call-in commentary, Annie is going to be giving us another interior design tip when it comes to all that very all-important part of the house, the bedroom. So welcome to the show, Annie. How are you?
Thank you, Ray. Great. Thank you.
And I know you've given me some questions to ask you here. I guess maybe just talk right off the bat about, the quality of bedding and linens and all that. I mean, these are the kinds of things that real estate brokers, when they are thinking about staging a house, are important, but beyond that, for people to enjoy their properties. So go ahead.
Well, I just noticed that in the last few years, when I've gone to buy bedding, specifically sheeting for myself or for clients, I keep hearing the term the thread count, and the message is that the higher the thread count, the better the sheeting. And recently I started carrying a Swiss bedding line in my studio, and I started asking and doing a little bit of research about how to determine the quality of sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So I did meet with a linen expert this week, and I really discovered that you cannot determine the quality of bed sheets by thread count alone. In fact, in Europe, they don't really look at thread count. The more important thing is the the cloth and how the components of the fibers are spun, how the cloth has been woven, and how it's been finished. And first of all, to determine thread count, it's determined by how many threads are woven in a square inch. So, for example, if you have 150 threads woven vertically and 150 threads woven horizontally, the thread count is 300. But again, it's really only one element of the cloth. And the other important element is that the best cloth is woven with long staple fibers. And a long staple fiber is 2 inches long. That's the best fiber. And that's the longest the staple fibers come in is 2 inches. So you can't really tell if you look at a cloth with the naked eye if it's woven with a long staple fiber or if it's woven with something twisted. You can look through a jeweler's loop and you'd see no slubs. You'd be able to not see through the fabric. And it would kind of appear almost like a metal.
And I'm just curious, when you're talking about this long staple fiber, what fibers are usually involved in?
I'm speaking specifically about cotton fibers, mm-hmm. because when you start getting into mixes, then each fiber is going to have its own sort of qualities and its own wearability. Mm-hmm. So really, the cotton fibers are the ones that I'm really talking about.
And I'm always thinking, Annie, when I'm thinking about maybe buying a shirt or something like that, the term of Egyptian cotton always comes up as being one of the stellar types of cotton. And mm-hmm. is there a reason why? Do you know?
You know, I don't. I know that the best cottons come from France, they come from Italy, they come from Switzerland, they come from Germany. I do know that. And I do realize the cost of bedding has increased because of the euro.
Mm-hmm.
So I do realize that as well. I would say that the industry had conducted a study and they determined that the best thread count for sleeping, wearability, breathability is 300. So you start going to stores seeing 700, 1,000. That's not really the best thread count for sleeping.
Because it's too intense.
Not necessarily, because anything over 500 means that they are now taking those fibers and twisting them,
uh-huh.
so they're becoming double ply. So it really kind of starts breaking down the strength of the fiber. So anytime you see something over 500, if you realize that it's physically impossible to weave a single ply above a 500 thread count, they start twisting the yarns, and again, then it becomes a two-ply, and it's not as strong.
So stay with 300, and you're going to be assured of a quality product.
Yeah, I'd say 3 to 5, but 3 is, that's what they've tested, and it's been interesting because since I've been, looking at this, I went online, and even the sheets from Restoration Hardware from Williams-Sonoma, those sheets are all Italian sheets, and they have that thread count between 3 and 500, and I think if you go with a sheet, a brand that you know, and something that's comfortable and that's wearable, then you've got a good sheet.
Mm-hmm.
The other question that comes up quite a bit is about pilling.
Right.
And what makes a sheet pill?
And what is that?
It's really if the cloth is woven with the short staple fibers,
mm-hmm.
they can break, and the cloth becomes pilly. And if the cloth is loosely woven, it's the same situation. It can pill. And the other cause of pilling is abrasion, which occurs when the cloth is not tightly woven, but also when you're washing a sheet with, like, jeans or other things that are going to cause abrasion to your sheets.
I see. So the message there is from a care standpoint is wash your sheets separately.
Wash your sheets separately. Wash them in warm water. Dry them in warm water. Do not use hot water because it breaks down the fibers.
Because the whole thing with pilling is that it not only does it affect the look of the sheet, but also probably the comfort level too, right?
Mm-hmm, I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Well, what other tips do you have today for the listeners regarding these kinds of issues? Something that I know you threw out at me is what is sateen?
What is sateen? Right. That has to do with how the cotton or the fiber is woven. It's woven a little bit differently. It's woven with four warps and one weft, which means that there's more cotton on the surface, and then the cloth is actually polished. So it has, it's a different weave and a different finish than a cotton. And it's just a little bit softer and, you know, it's got more of a sheen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and the cotton, the sheets that I was talking about previously, those have one warp and one weft. So it's just a, you know, it's a different weave and a different finish.
Well, we're so lucky to have you to walk us through them. Who would have known all of these technical issues associated with bedding? But Annie O'Carroll, the consummate interior designer, is giving us good counsel here. And I think ultimately what you're suggesting, besides buying quality products that look good, is you're also giving some very good tips about how people can save money in how they care for the product and what they buy at the front end, right?
Yes.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
More informed, because I think it's been a marketing campaign that the higher the thread count, the better the sheet. And it's not entirely true. It's one piece.
Well, I learned something today for sure. Listen, Annie O'Carroll of Annie O'Carroll Interior Design, I appreciate you being on the show. And if you're interested in getting a hold of Annie, go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the radio tower icon. That'll take you right over to the radio show page. And right there is a big logo with Annie O'Carroll's contact information on it. Annie, thanks a lot. We will talk to you in another couple of weeks, okay?
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I also want to encourage you to check out some of the featured homes offered this week by Santa Fe Realty Partners. Now, in our full-page ad in today's Santa Fe, New Mexican, you'll find information on builders and custom homes. Actually, there's a great lineup of these properties on that page, on that full-page advertisement. And you can also go to our homepage. Again, that's www.sfrp.com for more information and lots of pictures of these very special featured properties. Again, that is the Santa Fe Realty Partners full-page ad in the classified real estate section today in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. So I want to once again shift gears and bring online another broker from Santa Fe Realty Partners, another very well-known broker who has been in the community for a number of years, highly respected. I want to welcome Bob Burbick to the show. Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you today?
Doing okay. You know, today, Bob, we're talking about a variety of issues associated with getting ready for the spring market, and I think you've got some tips for sellers that maybe you should be thinking about these things as they are contemplating the possibility of putting their own property on the market. Go ahead.
Well, to simply put this, if you were thinking of putting your home on the market at all this year, I'd recommend putting it on the market sooner rather than later. And there's a reason why. There's a good news right now as it relates to inventory.
Uh-huh.
Inventory has come down for the winter, so there's actually fewer homes on the market now than I expect will be on the market in the summer. So if the seller's looking to put that home on the market and they want to extract a higher price or they want to make a quicker sale, odds are that will happen now as opposed to the summertime, when inventory supplies increase.
Right. And of course, as you have been talking about with all of your clients as well, is that because of the first-time home buyer tax credit and because of moderate prices on inventory, though inventory is high right now, there is an increase in buyer activity. So counsel for sellers is get it on the market now to take advantage of that, correct?
Yes and no. The good news is that, again, prices are low. Interest rates are low. You do have the first-time home buyer's tax credit. But what you did expect to see as a result of this would have been a stampede of buyers to the market. And we simply haven't had that. And there's no catalyst that I see going forward that's going to dramatically increase the number of buyers that come to market. So actually, if you're a buyer, you're buying now as opposed to waiting till the summer when that tax credit's out, when those interest rates go up. So from a seller's standpoint, you want to take advantage of the buyers that are there today.
Right.
And again, when you bring that inventory to the market, and it's not only going to be the people that took their homes off the market for the winter that decide to bring them back, but what we're really concerned about is that shadow inventory they discussed, the foreclosed properties that are coming to market.
Right, and of course they will have a huge impact on not only inventory but pricing, which really moves me to my next question for you is, we always talk about with our sellers, all of us brokers in the industry, about how important it is to have a house that's perfectly staged, in great condition, eliminate all the issues that a buyer might bring up to you as he or she is considering your property. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to pricing. So Bob, what's your recommendations for those sellers that are listening out there today about how to correctly price their property?
Well, it's no longer good enough to just be in the mix. The property has to be compelling, or that price has to be compelling. But how do you know what a compelling price is?
Right.
It's not looking at the average list price. It's not even looking at the average sales price, because the sales data is up to 6 months old.
Right.
Where a seller really needs to focus on in terms of the correct strategy is to say, what homes are under contract? And when you see those homes that are under contract, you're going to see that a typical home right now is selling for about 95, 96% off list.
Right.
So if you know the homes are priced at X, you need to price, if you want to sell immediately, 4 to 5% below X to be the market sweet spot. Unfortunately, most people will look at the data and price 3 to 6 months ago, and that's not where our buyers are.
Right. Yeah, because the market is changing rapidly, almost on a daily basis.
Minute by minute. Yeah. And the funny thing is, you can go to certain markets and you'll see inventory levels that are just a handful of homes. And then you go to other sections of town and you'll have 20 or 30 homes available in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. And
so it's not just minute by minute, neighborhood by neighborhood, but that's where an experienced broker really comes to play in helping the seller sell the home, get what they want for the home, and actually move on with what they want to do with their life.
And that's a very good way of putting it, Bob, because we all, as brokers, have encountered the statement by a seller, well, that's all well and good about how you're approaching the scientific side of pricing my property, but after all, it's my house. And so you deal with this pride, naturally, that a seller has, and a sort of an image that they have, which is not always quantifiable, seldom is, about what they consider to be the intrinsic value of their property, which is something that a broker has to deal with. How would you deal with that particular question if it came to you from a seller?
Well, one of the things I look at is I say, what do you want to accomplish? Where do you want to be in 6 months? And most people are putting their houses on the market or putting them on for a reason. There's been a death. There's been a marriage. There's been a divorce. There's been a birth of a child. There's been a job transfer. And every day that goes on that they're not able to accomplish that goal is a day that they missed out on an opportunity to enjoy the rest of their life.
Excellent. Well, I can't think of a better way of closing out this segment than with that commentary. Bob Burbick, one of my colleagues at Santa Fe Realty Partners, a very well-respected associate broker here in Santa Fe. Bob, if people want to get a hold of you, they can go to our website, www.sfrp.com. Click on the broker category to take you right to Bob. But if someone wanted to call you this afternoon, what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
My only number is my best number.
Okay.
670-9399.
Excellent. Listen, Bob, thanks so much for being on All Things Real Estate today. I appreciate your commentary. I'll be seeing you in the office soon.
Thanks, Ray. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, Gino Thompson, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we will continue our conversation about getting ready for the spring market, and I promise you that that special guest will be on at the very end of the program. Stay tuned.
.org.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and by the sound of that music, you know that we are up to our weekly Open House of the Week segment. Today I have my colleague Marilyn Von Ryder on the line. Good afternoon, Marilyn. How are you?
Hello, Ray.
And I know that you are sitting on an open house. Are you there yet?
I am.
Okay, and you are at 110 Avenida Frijoles. You know how this works, Marilyn. You've got 2 minutes to sell everybody that's listening on the qualities of this property so that they will get in their cars and drive on over there. So go ahead. You've got the floor.
Okay. I would like to tell your listeners about this charming home at 110 Avenida Frijoles in Aldea. It's a contemporary Pueblo-style home built in 2006. The home has a split floor plan with 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, and is 2,150 square feet, with a finished 2-car garage. This sunny home features beautiful granite countertops, tile floors, skylights, and radiant heat. The living room offers a lovely kiva fireplace with high ceilings, vigas, and corbels, and opens up onto a portal with beautiful mountain views and sunsets. The home is situated on a hill overlooking a large greenbelt with walking trails. The owner is quite artistic and has faux-finished the walls in the master bedroom and bathrooms. Aldea is a beautiful community with 2,000 at 205 acres of open space and miles of walking trails with mountain views all around. Along with the main plaza area, there are work-live areas, a clubhouse, and athletic facilities. Come view this lovely home today from 1 to 3. To get to Aldea, simply take 599 to Camino La Tierra, turn right, then left onto Frontage Road, go 1.2 miles to the second Aldea entrance, which is Avenida Frijoles. Top of the hill, follow my Santa Fe Realty Partner signs to 110 Avenida Frijoles, which is on your right. I would love to meet you and show you around this beautiful home. This home is priced at $479,900.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous property, and I actually have had a couple of clients. One, I had a listing there in Aldea and sold it in a very short order. And then I had another client who just bought something last fall, and she's terribly happy with the whole Aldea scene. So, listen, Marilyn Von Ryder will be at the property today. Again, that's 110 Avenida Frijoles from 1 to 3. Again, Aldea is a well-known community here in town. I hope that the buyer is on his or her way for you, Marilyn. Good luck.
Thank you, Ray.
Talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, now, actually, Gina, we should have a drum roll because I've been prepping this whole thing as my special guest, and I'm going to do a little introduction here. Now, there are many Santa Fe realtors, including several at our firm, actually quite a few at our firm, that are involved in community service activities through membership on nonprofit boards and through donation of time and money to programs and activities that really are helping make Santa Fe and our county very special. One such broker is my colleague, Terry Smith, who's in the studio today. No surprise, I've been talking about it throughout the entire hour. And he's here today to share his enthusiasm about a project that he's been working on. Terry just completed a 3-year term as board chair of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust. Terry's involved in a new effort to help our community protect our beautiful night skies from light pollution. Welcome to the show, Terry, with that buildup.
Thanks, Ray. I'm delighted to be here. I can't imagine how disappointed your audience is.
Not at all.
They were thinking Allie McGraw might be here or Redford or somebody.
Right.
They got me.
Well, we're actually going to go have brunch with all of them afterwards. You were the first course. Actually, though, it's a delight to have you back on the show. Terry has been on the program before talking about conservation trust issues. One of his great passions, he is a broker, again, at Santa Fe Realty Partners. But today we're going to talk about this project called Dark Skies. So why don't you define it first of all so people know what you're talking about.
Thanks, Ray. Well, I just want to thank you for letting me talk about this for a bit. It is something about which I am very passionate, as are a number of other folks in the community. Our goal as a group, and the group center of the group is something called the Capital Cities Astronomy Club, 20 or so astronomers who have gotten together to help people enjoy the night sky. Our goal is to, through education and outreach, to help people understand that the darkness of our night skies in Santa Fe are a very special part of our place here.
Right.
That they are important to us in a variety of ways, and that each of us can contribute to helping conserve them and preserve them against increasing amounts of light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
The light pollution of the night sky happens little steps at a time. A porch light here, a garage light there, an unshielded street light over here, and pretty soon we can no longer see the beauty of the night sky. And once it's gone, it's generally gone forever.
And this is an important point because, as we were talking about in the green room, people come to Santa Fe and they walk out of a restaurant at the end of the evening, look up at the sky, and they see an abundance of stars like they can't see anywhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, you came from Washington, D.C., as did I. And I remember walking out of my house onto my portal one of the first nights that I lived in the house and looking up at the sky and saying to myself, I'm not under the Milky Way, I'm in it.
Yes.
Which is literally true. And people tend to take that beauty for granted until it's lost.
Yeah, well, and so why should people care about this? We seem to be benefiting from it, but you're saying that incrementally it's worse than people maybe realize, right?
It is, and we're losing it. My house is south of town on the old Santa Fe Trail, and when I first moved there about 9 years ago, the glow from Santa Fe to the north, the glow over the city of Santa Fe, rose up to about 15 degrees above the horizon.
Hmm.
Now, 9 years later, I recently measured it's about 35 degrees.
Hmm.
So the first 35 degrees above the horizon are lost. The stars there are lost.
And that's in a very short period of time.
That's in 9 years.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. I think there are at least three reasons why people should care.
Okay.
The first one is economic, and you sort of mentioned part of it. People come to Santa Fe for a for an experience that has a lot to do with the beauty of our natural place. They enjoy the mountains, the high desert, fishing in the local streams, and so on. And part of what they enjoy, whether they are conscious of it or not, many are, but some aren't, is the fact that when they're coming home from that restaurant in the evening and they look up and they realize that the skies are clear, the stars are vivid, they can imagine the universe in a way that they can't if they come from a city.
Gotcha.
The other is that those of us who are not careful and thoughtful about how we light our houses and our properties, the exterior lighting of our houses and properties, are spending a ton of money we don't need to spend lighting things we don't need to light. And by not caring enough or thinking enough about the kinds of lighting fixtures that we choose, we are lighting upwards into the night sky rather than downwards on pathways and driveways and so
which is,
on.
Which is what you want to light anyway, right?
So we're just burning up money to light the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a personal economic issue. We can all save a fair amount of money if we think more carefully about that.
Okay, so we've got economic. What else?
I think there's a I know there's a biological reason. We and all the creatures who share the planet with us evolved in a diurnal reality, that is, daylight and nighttime. All of our biological systems, all of the creatures that live on the planet with us, biological systems, are geared to a world in which there is night and day. Migration patterns. One of the great problems in cities is migrating birds crashing into the windows of tall skyscrapers that are lighted at night, losing their way. There is beginning to be some research, a 2008 National Geographic article on this subject, on the subject of light pollution, cited a study in which scientists are beginning to discover a connection between the brightness of communities at night and the incidence of breast cancer in women.
What? That's fascinating.
It's fascinating and frightening. It is an example of our biological impact.
And we knew we were going to run out of time, and we talked about this. We have about 1 minute left, Terry, so I think there's another issue here which deals with the spiritual. But let's go right to, if we could, your best suggestions about how people can get involved in this.
Well, there are several things I want to say real quickly. There are two great websites that people can go to. One is NASA's website, www.nasa.gov, and when you go there, go to the search engine and type in dark skies. Wonderful information about what you can do, pictures and the like. The second is the International Dark Skies Association, www.darkskies.com, .org. They, too, have a great deal of information. The second thing is we invite people to experience the night sky with us. A neighborhood association in Santa Fe or a school that would like to experience a star party in which we, the astronomers in town, will come with our telescopes, do a tour of the night sky, and talk a bit about light pollution, is an email away. And they can send an email to me.
At TerrySmith @SFRP.com. That's the best way of doing it. Terry, I'll tell you what, I've got to cut you off here because we're just about ready to end the show. But I want to thank you. I'll have you back on the program. We'll talk some more about this. I apologize, and I want to thank all my other guests for bringing great commentary today. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, Kate Jane, and Phil back at Santa Fe Realty Partners, for producing a very fine program. Thank you for tuning in today. I'd love to help you with anything on real estate, so give me a call at 989-8900. So until next Sunday at noon, right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things.